El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendrick Show. We just took a very, very brief 20-hour break, and we're back.
Yeah, I don't mean now, man. We're saying about how it seemed like we're always here.
Exactly. I mean, working in radio, and it's I think it's like any other job. You never, if you work for a living, and we all do, but if, especially if you work a full 8-hour gig, or you're just working very intensely at any job, it's like you never leave it, isn't it? It's like, where did I actually go home and sleep and eat and see my wife and kids, or my husband and my kid? You know, or haven't I just always been here?
What do you mean? You know, man, like, don't it feel like you never go home?
No.
All right. Well, you asked the wrong guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I went home, but did you guys stay here?
No, we didn't stay here. I'm not saying that we stayed here. I'm saying that it feels, Bud, sometimes like, doesn't it feel to you like, you know, oh, here we are again?
Yeah, but I mean, I know that I went home and I even know what I had for dinner. You know, I had a Salisbury steak and I had a succotash. And,
but it's fine. Don't tell me what you. I believe that you went home. You know.
Didn't you?
Yes, I went home.
What do you have for dinner?
Yeah. What did you have for dinner?
What business is it of you guys what I had for dinner?
Did you're on a diet?
Well, what I have every night when I get off the air. Every night I get off the air, I have the same thing, and I love it. I don't know why. I just love it, and it's a protein shake. That's what I have. I have a scoop of the whey protein powder. I have two bananas. And
speaking of that, man, just did a girl eating a banana on a TV show?
Yeah, it was on the Scarborough show. I saw that.
Yeah, excuse me. Did you ask me a question about something?
Yeah.
Can I answer it?
Oh yeah, okay. You just reminded me about a girl who had a banana up in her face.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Oh, isn't that funny? A girl was eating a banana. What I'm saying is, you guys asked me what I have for dinner. I had a shake. I have whey powder. I have two bananas and four strawberries. Why do I have that very specific shake? Because I know the calories. 110 calories for a scoop of the protein powder, 242 calories for the bananas, and 24 calories for those four strawberries. That combination makes a very delicious shake, which I find to be very, very good.
Yeah, and then you have a bunch of popcorn.
Yeah, then I have a bunch of popcorn. You're right, because that's... because I'm still on this diet, and I ain't stopping until I get to 210 pounds, and once again, I've hit another one of these plateaus. And the plateau is something that's common when you hit these diets, man, because all of a sudden I started thinking about myself being on the air. I'm suddenly self-conscious, you know. Maybe we ought to just start the show, you know, and...
No. Go.
Yes, sir.
Go.
Okay. Okay, so anyway, the diet that you go on, you'll hit these plateaus, and it happens. The body reacts to losing the weight, and it will say, the body doesn't say, the body just reacts biochemically to the fact that you're losing weight, so it stops, slows the metabolism down, so you're not burning as many calories, because the body only knows one thing. There's not as much food coming into it as there used to be. Is there a famine going on? Is there something wrong? Do we need to retain calories here? Do we need to help save the organism here, the life that is here? And I can see the look in his face.
Well, what you see in a body says that.
The body doesn't say that. It's a biochemical thing. I'm just putting it into terms that are easier to understand. And when you hit those plateaus, and I hit a plateau at 253, I was there for, 253 was a bitch, man. I was there for 3 weeks at 253. It really was driving me crazy until I finally went out and doubled up the exercising I was doing. And then finally the weight started coming off again. Then I hit another plateau at 233, which wasn't too long ago, and I was there for like 2 weeks. And now I've hit another one at 227.
But you just keep on plateauing.
Yeah, what if it's just a plateau and there's never a downslope?
Yeah.
Well, there's always going to be a downslope. There will be a downslope. It's just I got to go out and, like I did today, and I'll do it again tomorrow, I got to go out and hit the beach and double up the time that I'm spending out there either jogging or walking on it, and it'll get started again, man. I got a feeling that this time next week I'll be close to, you know, down to around 223, 222, something like that, but... it's been a long process. It started in March, and here's the thing. I am probably about a month. I am a month behind schedule, and I don't think that I'll hit 210. I thought I'd hit it by my birthday, which was September the 1st. I now do not believe I will hit 210 until probably the first week in August, probably late in that week. I mean, excuse me, October. The first week in October, probably late in that week. So, therefore, it's going to be, another month of hard work.
Yeah, but you know something, man? You'll be able to have Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and you'll also be able to do Halloween and everything. Yeah, think about it, man. You didn't miss the Halloween. You didn't miss a beat. In other words, you went on a diet and you didn't even miss Halloween or anything.
Yeah, last year you could shove all that can in your face, right? Then you got good and fat. Now you go on a diet. You can go and stick the candy in your mug again.
Yeah, if you wanted to, you could gain the weight back and still go on a diet again.
Oh, sure. That's what I want to do, bud. You know?
Well, I'm just saying.
You're just saying what? You're just saying I lost all this weight, so I think I'm going to really gorge on Halloween and Thanksgiving, which you're right. Those are, to talk about two eating holidays, God, two of my favorites, man. You know?
What about Easter?
Nah, Easter, you don't get the good, all it is a rabbit.
No, man, you got like chocolate egg and all that.
Forget Easter, man. Easter, I don't relate to Easter. You got an egg and you're like, yeah, that's cool. Easter is a Christian. I just don't. But the point that I'm making here is, and then I will move on mercifully, is that it is a weight level that I'm going to have to work another month at. And no, I'm not losing all this weight, man, just so I can go out and shove food into my face again, bud, and get all the way back up to 290 pounds, 300 pounds. I don't want to do that. You know, when you hit 300 pounds, you can't avoid it anymore. You can't say, well, you know, I'm retaining water and I'm just a little, I tend to be heavy. No, you are a fat ass at 300 pounds.
Yeah, you're like 6 foot tall.
I'm 6 foot tall. It doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah, well, a lot of guys are 6 foot tall at 300.
No, they're not, man. If you're 6'5", 300 pounds, you might play offensive line in the NFL. If you're 6'5", but if you're 6 feet tall, 300 pounds, and you do a gig like I do, which is basically sitting on your ass every night, yap, and, you know, and doing other weird things that only people with a backstage pass who watch Phil TV in HD could possibly understand, you, my friend, are a fat slob. So in any event, March 19th, I thought by the 1st I'd be at 210. That's the target weight. That will continue to be the target weight. And I have come up with that target weight in concert with my doctor, who said to me, good old Dr. Emery said to me, well, now, Phil, I don't know, you know, you're doing a great job. He was blown away, man, when I went to see him a couple of months ago. And he said, man, why don't you just make it 220? You know, I said, no, doc, no. I said, you and I both said I ought to be down around 210, maybe even two. He goes, you know what? You're right. Let's make it 200. Or 210, and so...
What is this guy? He sounds like he's a mad scientist or something.
Yeah.
Not a mad scientist. Why?
You see he wears two-tone shoes?
No, my mom said... My aunt said, sure sign a man is under a lot of mental pressure, you know, wearing a two-tone.
Who is?
But any man you know. That's what my aunt said.
Your aunt said that any guy that wears two-tone shoes is under an exorbitant amount, an enormous amount of mental pressure?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I guess she had experience. And her husband, my uncle, he wore two-tone.
Yeah, you wear a two-tone shoe like the saddle shoe or the very stylish cordovan.
Where are you guys coming from with this bull crap? Get her on the phone. I want to talk to her about that. We also have Debbie Daly. We also have Vernon Dozier. We have the Democratic National Convention to talk about. President Clinton, former President Clinton, spoke at the Democratic National Convention. And according to all who were there, most of them supporters of the Democratic National Convention, he knocked it out of the park. He clobbered it. He just destroyed it. He killed, as they say, in the comedy racket. He didn't just put it out of the stadium. He didn't just put it off the playing surface. He knocked it out of the stadium, and it's bouncing down the long, narrow driveway up the hill to Chavez Ravine, if you get all of those baseball references. He really did a great job, according to them. I saw parts of the speech. I'm afraid I didn't see all of it. The parts that I did see, classic Bill Clinton, where he has a way of breaking down a topic, couching it in a little bit of cajole, and you know, a little bit of a jab here and a jab there, but essentially putting it in a way that is understandable, I think, to a lot of voters who don't want to be yelled at necessarily. I'm not saying that this is just a comment on the guy's style, you know, which is obviously a winning style. We'll be back with that and more. And our Bobby Dooley download is in the Phil Henry Show shop. We got a lot to talk about. 877-877. Oh, wait, we're not giving the number out, right?
No.
Okay, I'm not going to give the number out. All right. Anyway, welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be back with Debbie Daly and Vernon Dozier right after this.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, just a minute, Debbie.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night here, I started to give 8-7, say, I started to say 8, so what can I do with that?
Yeah, make it like you ate something?
Ate dinner just before I came on, and you can hear in the back, we have Debbie Daly, who is in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have Vernon Dozier on the line from Glendale, California. Vernon and Debbie, how
are
you guys doing?
We're
going to talk with the two of you about the convention so far. And, of course, as we like to do on the show, we have two opposing viewpoints here. The conservative viewpoint represented, I guess, by Mr. Dozier, and the liberal viewpoint represented by Debbie Daly. Debbie, by the way, I should tell you, is the host of a morning show on public radio called Daly's Daily. She is the first and only hearing-impaired individual to host a radio show that I know of. And Debbie, I'll ask you about that in just a second. I do want to tell everyone that we have our Bobby Dooley download. The tracks, you get the entire download for $24.99. It's in our shop right now. It's called The Ever So Best of Bobby Dooley. The very many appearances that she's had on our show, we distilled these from votes that were taken from our Backstage Pass members. And they hit a home run. They really did. We went through, and so many of these bits come from a similar period of time for Bobby, around 2002, 2003, 2004. But I would suggest that if you really want to get a smile on your face real fast, and I mean like really fast, get the Ever So Best of Bobby Dooley. It's in our shop right now. And the first track, and let me tell you, when you're talking about comedy, what better title for a track than Dachau?
Man, that was, you know, that's almost off-putting, man.
I know, but it's not what you think. It's a trip that Bobby and Steve took to Germany, and it's pretty funny. In any event, that's the freebie, and we have 12 cuts on the Ever So Best of Bobby Dooley in our shop. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And, Debbie, I started talking about you here, and with your indulgence, Vernon, I will ask Debbie some questions about, you know, her rise in the radio business.
Absolutely, Phil. I've been very fascinated myself to hear it.
Debbie, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well.
Well, it's always our pleasure. You have this... physical challenge. When you first approached the public radio entity that you did to do your morning show, what did they say? Okay. Vernon, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to be on with Ms. Daly. And I, as a teacher, Ms. Daly, I would tell you that you are an inspiration, I think, to a lot of young people and a lot of people just in what you've been able to achieve. And thank you very much. Okay, Phil.
What did you ask him?
I think that I will. Yes, I will.
All right. Let me start off here by asking you, Vernon, what are you taking away from this Democratic convention?
Well, I think, Phil, first of all, you describe me as a conservative. I think I'm very conservative in many ways, but I think I do share the, if you want to call it liberalism, I don't. I call it Americanism. I do share some values with the Democrats, their commitment to certain rights. I have to tell you, I'm still a little fuzzy on the gay rights, as well as the so-called pro-choice or abortion rights. I'm a very conservative when it comes to those things, but I certainly have no problem at all with black people eating in the same restaurant as myself, and I even have no problem at all with black people being my boss, for instance. So I think I share...
Well, that's sort of a... That's a fight that's been fought.
Well, you know, yes, I suppose you could say it's been fought for some people, but I don't think the jury is in just yet. And I have, in recent years...
You don't think the jury's in on the rights of minority people, whether they're black or Hispanic?
I think that there are a great many people, more and more, coming over to the side that minority people, African American, Hispanic, and so forth, and even the Jewish people. I think more and more people are coming over to the side that they deserve to be able to vote. But I don't think I don't think the story is told yet.
Boy, I got to tell you, just as an opinion.
Well, hold on. I mean, you're asking me.
No, you're right. Go ahead.
But I would say this, Phil. What I'm taking away from the Democratic National Convention is the following thing. I'm taking away the very thing that I heard Margaret Gray taking away from the Republican Convention. I hate to use a term that the kids use. I'm grossed out.
What does that mean?
I'm looking at the people that are standing up and cheering, and it's to put it the way a lot of the students would put it in my school, it just grosses me out. A lot of them are in their jeans, the teeth that some of these people have.
Go ahead, Debbie. Okay, so Debbie, what you're saying is, for my audience, your teeth aren't that great, and you, because you're hearing impaired, your body, you haven't had good hygiene. So she said that she can't hear people tell her she smells, whatever that means, you know.
All right, I got to be honest with you. I don't understand anything she's saying. I've tried to fake it here for the last few minutes, and obviously... I don't understand. I tried to fake it.
What do you mean you tried to fake it?
Well, when she was going, I would say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, because I'm trying to be polite. But when she starts in telling me that I'm supposed to look at a television with bad teeth and B.O. and people in jeans, that's when I've got to just come clean and say, well, you know what, then I have to tell you, I don't understand a word you're saying. All right?
She said that you had said yes to taking her out for a drink right at the beginning of the interview.
When did I say that? See, I don't understand what she's saying.
Well, you said that you did. You know, you were going, yes, uh-huh.
All right, well, I don't.
Well, she just said there, do you want me to repeat what you said? She just said that at the beginning of the interview, she asked you, would you take her for a drink and then lay her on the hood of a car?
Oh, bullcrap. And I don't understand what she's gibbering about. And I didn't say yes to anything like that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, man.
Well, then why didn't you say something to me?
Because I found it rather amusing that you would go ahead and assent to something like that. So I just let it go.
Oh, you didn't even know what she was saying. As a matter of fact, Mr. Henry...
Yes, I did know what she was saying.
Well, I think both of you are lying. Now, I don't know whether that means this interview is going to continue, and I want to talk about the Democratic convention, but for her, for Mumbles here...
Don't call her Mumbles, okay?
Well, that's what Mumbles... What does she want me to call her? She's got layer on the hood of a car. That's dirty pool. And that is what I call the kind of manipulation of freedom of speech that is chilling me. It chills me out. It's not the chilling of freedom.
All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with Vern Dozier and Debbie Daly from Daly's... Daly's Daily. Phil, we're on the line here with Debbie Daly from National Socialist Radio. You understand? I didn't know that was the name of the network.
Can I say something, Phil?
Hold on. National Socialist Radio does not sound like a liberal radio network. It sounds like a Nazi network.
Can I just jump in here?
Okay, go ahead.
National Socialist means Nazi. Yes, it does. It means Nazi because National Socialism is what the Nazis called it. I know you're talking about you.
Well, you've been really effective there, Vernon. Can I take over again?
Go ahead.
By
the way, I just jump in for one more thing.
What?
I just saw Anthony Villagrosa, the mayor of Los Angeles, stand up in front of this convention and say three words and then walk off. That's how compelling the mayor of L.A. is. You've got the mayors of New York. You've got the mayors of Chicago. You've got... Now, Clinton's coming on. I thought he already spoke.
Obviously, it's a tape.
Oh. All right.
That's fine. I know they took a chance on you, calling themselves National Socialist Radio. Is there anybody over there with a brain in their head? That used to mean Nazi. I understand that they're a socialist, liberal network, all that bull crap, but when you call it National Socialist, it sounds like Nazi. Let me bring Dean Wheeler. Oh, okay. You're right. I don't know what I'm talking about. Dean Wheeler on the line with us here, and Dean is in Novato, California. I thought you were in Mill Valley, Dean. I don't know.
I don't know why you think that, Phil. A lot of people always make the mistake. They think because I am, because we have a holistic center and because we do believe in natural healings and natural curatives and because we have a great many affluent supporters and donors, they automatically assume we're in Mill Valley. No, we're here in Novato, California, and we have been for a number of years. So we do a lot of business in Mill Valley. And I go down there on a regular run to visit. We do some house calls a lot of times, especially people in the flu season, where we administer a number of different curatives, Phil, one of which, of course, is the one that you have not been a big fan of, and what we call it's called a hardball colonic. You don't like that, do you?
I've never had one. It doesn't sound very good, no.
Well, the hardball colonic, I'll tell you.
Well, can we not talk about that? We want to talk about the Democratic Convention.
Yeah. Well, that's Debbie. Hi, it's Dean Wheeler. Well, I came on the program, Debbie, because Phil said that you might need a little bit of help.
It's just that Vernon didn't understand you.
Well, and to be honest with you, Debbie, I couldn't. I think something needs to be said here, and I'll say this for Mr. Dozier. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, it's Vernon Dozier.
Well, sir, I'm saying this for your benefit as well. Debbie, I love you, and there are many of us who love you, but no one really can understand what you're talking about. We say that we do because we want you to have the job that you have. It's good, and the network, the public radio network, tells you that you've got lots of listeners to keep you happy, but when you do these interviews... Oh, I see. So I'm a queer now because I...
Debbie, would you watch your language?
Well, it's funny how people can understand you, Ms. Daly, when you start using words like that. You No, I do not use that word all the time, ma'am. No, I do not. Just because I'm a conservative doesn't mean I run around calling everybody the Q, the queer, or the F word, or things like that.
Don't use that word.
Oh, okay. All right, now I get it. Now I get it, Ms. Daly. You're killing the messenger because he brought a message. In the times of the Greeks, they used to kill the messenger. Well, isn't that great? But we're not living in the times of the Greeks. No, not even at my house. Oh, my God.
Debbie, you know, you're coming off really hostile, and you're also now turning into a homophobe, and Dean is a married man. He's straight.
Yeah, that's right, whatever I say. And I will tell you, Debbie, that nobody can understand you because it sounds like you've got something in your mouth.
Okay, so he had... It may be sexist and it may be piggish, but you're the one that called him half a F-word and a queer and all of these other things.
Get over that if the shoe fits. What does limp mean? Okay, Mr. Henry...
Hold on. Can we stop calling people names, Debbie?
I don't take Cialis intravenous, and I don't take Viagra intravenous. You know, I could start making some jokes about you, too. And the fact that you sound like you have one in your mouth, you sound like you've got about five of them. And
okay, all right. Thank you very much. Debbie, I've got you on the line with me here. I put Mr. Dozier on hold, and it sounds to me like Mr. Wheeler hung up. But the thing that I'm saying is, you're reacting not very much like an adult. I don't know whether that's true or not. What does the network say? The network says you have one of the highest-rated public radio shows. Now, you know that you are difficult to understand because of the impairment that you have, that you suffer to your hearing, correct? I understand that you lost your hearing when you were in a brass band. Nothing? Nothing is funny about it. No, I'm not. I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing, okay? I'm not laughing. Right. Debbie says that she played tuba in a brass band. Son of a bitch. God, you know what? I ought to hang up on you, too. I don't want to throw you into a ditch, okay?
You won't be the first one. Believe me, I've had to come up there roughly in my life.
I understand it's been rough for you, and I appreciate that, and I think you've done great things. And maybe it's wrong of the network to tell you you've got a lot of listeners, and maybe you don't have that few listeners, but Dean was simply trying to say a lot of people, probably most people, don't understand what you're talking about, okay? Because I do understand you, for some reason. Now, you were in a brass band, and you played the tuba, and they put you right in front of the guy with the two crashing cymbals. Is that what you're saying? So you played Stars and Stripes, your band did? Her high school band played Stars and Stripes Forever about 50 times in a Rose Parade, and she was in front of the guy with the cymbals. And that's where you lost your hearing. You don't like the song Stars and Stripes Forever. All right, do you still play tuba? Can you give us an example? Debbie played tuba in a brass band. This has taken us so far away from the Democratic Convention. But you know something, as long as you're left, what do you think? What did you think about President Clinton's speech? right. So,
what do you mean?
You said that you...
What do you mean?
I don't know what you just said. I didn't understand.
Wow. Wow.
Did you dump that?
Why?
Well, just in case anybody understood it.
No, I ain't dumping. Nobody can understand a word she said.
What'd she say?
Well, I can't tell you. Man, she let loose with a string of expletive deleted. Unbelievable, man.
Yeah, keep me out there, just in case anybody understood it.
If anybody understood it, well, I guess we'd have the argument that...
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it, man. If anybody said, hey, how come you let all that that gobbledygook go out? Say, because we didn't think nobody understand it.
Well, she dropped all kinds of MFs and F and everything. She told me what I could do with the microphone, the whole thing. I think, though, she's going to MP3 even after all of that. Some of her tuba playing that apparently she was either the tuba playing that she was doing when she was playing in the band or what it sounds like since she lost her hearing. And again, folks, this was as the result of 50 times she was listening to Stars and Stripes Forever in a marching band. Now, how many times do they crash the cymbals in Stars and Stripes Forever?
Well, I mean, think like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, bang, you know, da-da-da-da.
Probably about 100 times in each song.
100 times in each time. That's 5,000 times the cymbals banged into the...
into her head.
No wonder she lost her hearing. All right, so we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We will get back on the line here, Vernon Dozier, to try and get... It's probably not good that we have a debate. We'll try to get him back on the line and maybe Dean Wheeler, who can articulate better what these points of view are. When we come back here on the world-famous... Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, the Democratic National Convention.
Truth is
what we're talking about.
He's our bitch.
I'm not
Phil Hendry Show.
Nor would I be. I mean, before I get Vernon back here, I think of Debbie Daly. That's you, Vernon, right?
Yeah, Vernon Dozier here, Phil. Yeah.
All right, Debbie. I know that I shouldn't even have you back on the air. The things you just called me. Yes, I know that you have a disability and so on and so forth. I understand that, but I wanted to hear this recording of your tuba playing that we have that was MP3'd from your studio. All right, this is Debbie Daly. I'm not sure exactly what we have here, Debbie. You can give us some ideas. Okay, hold on. Yeah, it's, if you like tuba, it's...
That's, I think that's very good for a deaf girl, you know.
You gotta say hearing impaired.
Sorry. Yeah, it's tough for me too because my first wife played the tuba. If you, I don't understand you, Miss Daly. Can you turn that off, Phil, if you don't mind? Is Mr. Henry there? Is Mr. Henry there?
He stepped out to get a cup of coffee.
You better turn that off, or so help me God, something's going to happen here that isn't going to be good. I can't understand anything you're saying, lady, and I hate listening to that tuba because I had a wife that played tuba.
All right, here I'm back. I'm sorry, I went and grabbed some coffee. What happened?
Look, Phil, I can't stand listening to the tuba.
Oh, here we go with you and the tuba. You know, that reminds me of that Laurel and Hardy bit where that guy hated the piano so much, he busted the piano apart.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, the music box. Every time tuba comes up, you talk about your first wife. Anyway, Debbie...
Yeah, I do, because I can't stand it. I can't stand listening to it, and I can't stand thinking about her, and when I hear a tuba, that's all I can do is think about her. I'll be thinking about her now for the next probably 3 days because of that tuba. And the tuba music. And was that baby It's Cold Outside? I don't understand anything.
All right, Debbie, thank you very much. And,
Yeah,
okay, whatever you say there, Deb. God, what a mouth on her. So there she is with her tuba playing. And I was going to say to you, Ms. Daly, if you're still listening, that wasn't bad, as Vernon said, for a somebody with hearing problems.
She's got more than hearing problems, Mr. Henry. She is stone cold deaf. Okay, let's be honest. Let's get right out there and say it.
All right, well, what did you think of that tuba playing?
Do I got to say it again?
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't like the tuba. All right, let's get Dean Wheeler back on the air here and continue to talk here about the Democratic National Convention going on right now in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Dean, how you doing? Dean?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here. Sorry. Emerelda is cooking. She's making some of those raisin cookies tonight, and I just had a little with some cinnamon on it. It's really good. And I'm going to have to get in the garage and turn that off. We've got a car alarm that's been malfunctioning tonight, Phil. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, and Vernon Dozier's still here.
Hello, Vernon. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Dean, and give me your takeaway on this convention.
My takeaway? What is it?
Well, that's a common term that people are using.
It means, what did you think of the convention?
Well, I thought, again, President Clinton was absolutely remarkable. In fact, his speech is on right now. We already saw it, and we don't need to watch it again because, you know, what is that, Emerelda? Well, my wife is saying I'm not being honest with you, and why am I not being honest?
Hey, Phil, this is Emerelda.
Give me the phone back, okay? Quit screwing around.
That was your wife?
Yes, that was my wife.
Can I ask a question right now, Phil? Could you turn that car alarm off before I go start raving mad? I just had to listen to a tuba.
All right, I will, but I don't think...
I just had to listen to a tuba. I'd rather not hear a car alarm.
All right, I'm going to go do it right now, then. God.
I'm sorry, sir, but I don't want to listen to that.
I don't blame you.
All right, I'm on my way out right now. I'll go ahead and I'll turn it off. But I simply wanted to say that I thought it was a very good speech that the president gave, and I thought that what he said and what he, the support that he gave President Obama was good. But I'm not watching the speech right now, and Emerelda apparently wanted me to tell you the reason why I'm not watching the speech is I've got an ego problem. Is that what you're trying to say? Well, I don't think I have an ego problem.
Why do you have an ego problem?
Well, I think that President Clinton gets all of this attention, and I don't think that it's...
You got to be kidding me. You got a problem with President Clinton because he used to be president? That's what your problem is.
No, that is not my problem. My problem is simply he was president, and he won't go. I don't want him to go away.
What do you mean go? What is that about, man? You voted for the guy.
Yes, I voted for him, and yes, I support him. But wasn't he already president?
Yes, sir, he was president. But that's why they bring presidents back, because they have a certain level of there's a certain weight to the their presence and lending their support to a campaign.
All right, but Clinton is doing more than lending weight to a campaign. Every time you turn around, he's on television.
Well, so what's wrong with that? I thought you supported him.
I do support him, but he is acting like he's king you-know-what.
So you've got an ego problem when it comes to Bill Clinton.
No, I do not.
That's what it sounds like to me. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds to me like...
No, I don't have an ego problem. I don't have an ego problem. I'm tired of looking at him, that's all. And, Emerelda, you can say what you want. And here's your favorite lady, Elizabeth Warren, Emerelda. So why don't you go look at her and get out your Trojan twister while you're doing it. I gotta go. Ow, 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 ow.
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what happened there, but apparently he made some crude reference to his wife. All right, Vernon, anything else?
Well, I would just simply say that the Democrats never let you down. They always put on a good feel-good show. I like it. I like it a lot. I love watching the Democratic National Convention. I think they all look like Democrats. They never, ever fail me. They love to tell you how much we look like Republicans, but I have to tell you Democrats one thing. You all look like Democrats.
Now, in what sense?
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of them saying, oh, is that because we have a lot of black people? No, that's got nothing to do with it. The way they dress, the way they sweat, you know, I don't mean sweat, but the way that they dress and the way that they dance and the way that just the way that they present themselves on television in their informal wear and standing on chairs and holding a beer. And
I haven't seen anybody holding beers.
Well, believe me when I tell you, they have a very informal and I think slovenly look, if you want to be right honest about it, all right? And I say that, Phil.
Well, you know, that's a little insightful and insulting. Can't you stick to the actual messages that are being spoken either here or at the...
Well, no, because I'm saying that because they always say that we look like we're uptight, white-collar, white people. So they look slovenly and dirty and like people that you would immediately assume are going to break into your house. There. How's that feel?
But people are going to read that as race.
Well, then they're stupid. I'm talking about most of the white people I see.
All right, Vernon Dozier, and thank you, Debbie Daly, again, and thank you as well, Dean Wheeler. And I'm sorry that you made that crack about your wife, Elizabeth Warren, and the Trojan Twister. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, is that what he said? Trojan Twister. That's good.
Phil Hendry.